I don't need to preach after that, huh? It was good. Take your copy of the Word of God and turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, hopefully you brought your Bible tonight. I wanted to start, and they told me yesterday I had a couple extra minutes to preach, and I got excited about that. But I wanted to start by giving a quick testimony. This week I had a bit of excitement with my hand. I was running a circular saw with some lumber, and got my fingers on the wrong side of the saw, the bottom side. That's the wrong side, in case you didn't know that. And I had a mishap there. We went to the doctor, and I just want to praise the Lord tonight. We reached out right away, and several of these guys here I called up. I think my mom had half the church praying. It was a blessing. And we went back there, and we found out there was no broken bones. It didn't hit any bones, no tendons, no nothing. I should be totally back to normal, 100% functionality, hopefully mostly back to good within a week. I just want to praise the Lord for that. God is good. Amen. It could have been so much worse, but it wasn't. So praise the Lord for that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Jump down to verse 16. We'll read 16 and 17. The Bible says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We say the Bible is our final authority for all matters of faith and practice. And the truth is, we all need a final authority. And I hope it's the Bible tonight. Hope your authority is the Word of God. And there's many authorities people place in their lives. Everyone has one. All religions have one. Whether it's experience, it's self, it's man-made books. But it should be the Bible. There's some who say, well, I use the Bible as my final authority, but then they take their book and the Bible and they contradict and they go to their book. Their Bible's not their final authority. There's some who come to the Bible and say, well, the Bible doesn't actually mean what it says. Well, wait a minute. The Bible's not their final authority either. It's themselves. They made themselves the authority over the Bible. So tonight, I hope I can instill some confidence in the Word of God in you. I know you trust the Word of God, but let's learn some things about the Word of God. First of all, the Word of God is eternal. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." I want you to take a look at the book in your hand. It was here long before you were, and will be here long after you leave. How long? The Bible tells us forever. The Bible says God has given His Word and will be here forever. Can I say very carefully, this is one of the reasons we use the versions of the Bible that we use. Why? Well, we don't believe that God lost His Word somewhere along the way, and now it's up to us to go and find it and make a new Bible. We believe we have God's Word, and He's given it to us and preserved it. What does that mean? I believe, and the Bible teaches, it means you take the Gospel of Mark or the book of Ephesians, you go all the way back to the first century church. What they had and what we have are the same. Why? Because God preserved it. Was it because of faithful translators and martyrs and scribes and all these things? They had a hand, no doubt, but it was because we have a faithful God who kept His Word, and His Word is eternal. No book has been attacked, torn apart, or criticized like God's Word, but it's still here. God's Word will stand no matter what. It is, first of all, eternal. Can I say, secondly, the Word of God is effective. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God changes lives. The Word of God makes a difference. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." The Word of God is a comfort to the broken. It gives life to those who are dead. It heals where healing would never be possible. It is powerful. Jeremiah 23, 29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" It uses the example of fire and a hammer. It compares them to the Word of God. What's that mean? If you've ever seen a fire takes things, it changes it. It consumes it. It burns it, right? The fire has power. How about a hammer? Anybody ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Brother Greg, I worked for Brother Greg, and he says, now James, it still hurts. Every time it still hurts. Why? Because the hammer has power, right? And the hammer has power. It compares it to that rock. It's breaking that rock. It's changing that rock. So is the Word of God. The Word of God has power and makes a difference. It's effective. Don't think that it's just another book. Don't treat it like another book. It's unlike any other book in history. Why? Because it's a living book. Because it's God's book. These are the very words of God. It should make a difference in your life. Question is, are you letting it? Will you let it make a difference in your life? God is speaking to us through His Word. Will we listen? His Word is effective. Not only is it eternal, not only is the Word of God effective, can I say thirdly, the Word of God is essential. We need the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but He answered and said, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It compares the Bible to food. Anybody in here eat? We like to eat, right? Good Baptists, right? We like to get together and have our casseroles and fried chicken. Amen? We like to eat. But I don't think there's any of us who can say we do not eat. You won't be here. Why? Because you need food. You have to have food. And can I say you need the Word of God? It compares the Word of God to food. Some people say, well, I can live my whole life and I don't need to go to the Bible, and they skim the Bible and they don't get in the Bible and they're not being fed. And somehow they tell me they're thriving as a Christian. Really? You're not getting food. How are you surviving? You're not. You see, we need the Word of God. It's essential. As much as we need food, even more so, we need the Word of God. If we do not have the Word of God, we don't have anything. We need it for sound doctrine and to keep us from error. So many churches are going this way, and they're going a different way, like Pastor talked about this morning. Why? Because they're not basing their stuff on the Word of God. They're not keeping the Word of God. They're not in the Word of God. They call themselves churches, and they're not really, really, I mean, preaching and living the Word of God. We see we need it. We're going to go astray if we don't. We need to keep that sound doctrine to keep us from error. It's the final authority. It's our firm foundation for life. I was talking to a buddy a while back, and the significance of the Word of God hit me. You see, without the Word of God, we have absolutely nothing. You see all this? Look around you. Look at your neighbor. I don't know who you're sitting by. Maybe you don't want to look at your... I don't know. You see, the only reason we're here tonight is because of this. It's because of this. The significance of the Word of God. Man, one book did this. One book saves many souls, thousands of souls through First Baptist Church. One book made 75 years of faithfulness in Eaton, Ohio. Yeah, one book. You see, we need the Word of God. Everything we have is built on it. There's three reasons why we need the Word of God in our lives. More than three, but here are three for you tonight. First of all, salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If we don't have the Word of God, how do we get saved? The old song, tell me the story of Jesus. How do we know the story of Jesus if we don't have the Word of God? We don't. Unless we have the gospel, how are we saved? We're not, but praise God, we have His Word. If you're lost tonight, can I give you some good news? You don't have to listen and believe what I say. You don't have to listen and believe what these preachers say or what anyone else says, but you better believe what God says. And here's what God says about how to get to heaven. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also have received and wherein ye stand. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, listen up, here's the gospel. But number two, the second verse here, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Paul says, all right, I'm going to tell you the gospel. This is what saved you. You better pay attention. The gospel is what saves you. Third verse here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what the Bible says the gospel is. And I don't know what you're trusting in tonight. And maybe you've been told and persuaded that somehow there's some baptism and some church membership and some money you can give. And maybe you can get to heaven like that. That doesn't work. Why not? Because that's what I think. That's what God says. God says it's by grace through faith alone, through faith in Christ. God, that's what the Word of God teaches, and you'd better listen to that. Can I say also, if you're saved tonight, that Bible is your assurance. Some teach, somehow you can walk along, and one day you can drop your salvation. Where'd it go? You know, so, something along those lines. I know it's more complicated in their minds than that, but why? Let me tell you tonight, that's not what God says. God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can know that you're saved. Why? Because what I think, that's what God says. And the Bible says you have eternal life if you believe, right? That's what God says. And eternal means forever. It's pretty simple in my mind, but God says it. It doesn't depend on me or what I think or feel. It's what God says. Your salvation depends on it. Second of all, your sanctification depends on it. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctification begins at salvation, is the process by which God makes us more like his son, makes us more like Jesus. So how do you know how to become like Jesus? How do you know the way God wants you to live? You go to the Bible. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. By listening and obeying and learning what it says. So read it, memorize it, meditate on it, talk about it, share it. That is how you will grow. That's how you will become more like Jesus. Your sanctification depends on the word of God. Can I say thirdly here, your service depends on the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:17, we read it. Why is all scripture given? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, to sit at home and go to church three times a week. No, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not only does it show us the way of salvation and help us grow, it tells us what we are supposed to be doing and how we are supposed to go about doing that. The Bible commands us to preach the gospel. What are we supposed to be doing? Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible is what commands us to preach the gospel. The Bible is what motivates us to preach the gospel. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us that there's judgment coming for the wicked. The Bible tells us that Jesus is coming for us very soon. And that means that the Bible tells us we don't have much time to get this gospel out. And that means the Bible says, hey, we need to go be doing what we can right now to take the gospel around the world. The Bible says to study that we might not be ashamed. It says, be ready to give an answer. Where do we get our answers from? Right here. We get our answers from right here. If we didn't have the Word of God, what would we do? What would our purpose be? To live for money? To live for pleasure? To live for fame? But we do have the Word of God, and it tells us we should live for souls, and it tells us how we need to go about doing that. Your effectiveness in the service of the Lord depends on the Word of God. And so I say unto you, we need the Word of God. It is essential. So what? What do you do with this message? Rely on it. Make it the final authority in your life. Determine to live by it and what it says as long as you may live. Tomorrow morning, take it, read it, let God use it in your heart and live it out. Don't neglect it, follow it, and obey it. It is eternal, it lasts forever. It is effective, it makes a difference, and it is essential. It is needed in the life of a Christian.